Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, August 9th. Today you'll meet the Apostle Paul, who exemplifies one who endured intense pain but wasn't defeated by his circumstances. What was his secret?
Adversity comes in all forms. And when I think about it, I think about how universal it is. It doesn't make a difference where you live, where you come from, what color, what culture. It doesn't make any difference. Adversity is just adversity. And what I want you to understand in this message, I want you to understand that adversity in our life can either be this overwhelming sense of burden, this burden that is weighty, heavy, that makes us weary, tired, restless, and just worn out. Or the same adversity can be like a bridge that leads me to a deeper relationship to God. It's all in my attitude and all in my understanding of what God is doing. Well, the Apostle Paul is the best example in the Scripture of a person who not only went through all kinds of adversity, but who understood the most basic principles. And in this passage, if you will listen carefully, and I want to encourage you to write down these statements, it will help you, enable you to keep your attitude right, the goal right, understand what God's doing in your life, and you will have a totally different attitude about whatever you're going through, whatever that may be. So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So I won't put these in any order necessarily. I just want to start with this very first thing. And that is, he learned this. He learned that he could experience contentment in the midst of his adversity, which is what most people never learn, that he could be content in the midst of his adversity. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "Therefore, I am well content with what? Weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties." That sends most people to bed. He says, "I'm content with these things." Now, why could he say that? Because he knew how to respond. Here's what he'd learned. He'd learned that he was learning something about his relationship to Jesus. And he was learning that these things were not tearing him down, but that somehow he could have contentment. And remember, he's writing Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians. He's writing these epistles from a prison cell because he's gone one jail to the other. And now he's talking about the fact that one thing he learned was that he could have contentment in the midst of all that. He also learned to see everything as coming from God, which is one of the basic principles to prevent a person from being bitter, resentful, and hostile. Listen to what he says in this passage. He says, for example, in verse 7, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." Now, where did that come from? Ultimately, it had to be God. That is, God could have stopped it. He could have stopped all of that, but he allowed it. What was he doing? He was allowing these things in his life. And Paul said one of the greatest things he'd learned was to be able to see everything is coming from God. He was getting insights into who Jesus was that he had not had before. He was learning things about how the Lord works. And there was something was happening inside of him. And so he could say, here's what's going on. Somehow I feel content in the midst of all this. Somehow I feel that my Heavenly Father is going to be sufficient for every single aspect of my life. He learned to see everything is coming from God. And I've said several times, it's one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. I learned it on my knees in the prayer room in the midst of great difficulty and great turmoil and great adversity in my life. And I can never forget that moment when he says, "This is the way you'll win this battle. You will see everything is coming from me." And all of a sudden, my attitude changed. My attitude toward people changed. My attitude toward my self-pity began to just disintegrate in front of me. And I thought, well, God, if you're behind it all and you love me unconditionally, we're going to walk right through this. When you understand that your God is with you in it, no matter what, and you begin to understand that because, remember what we said in the beginning? There are two big rails in this bridge. One of them is that he's in control of everything, and the other rail is that what? He's going to turn everything for your good. If you can ride on those two truths, you can overcome any adversity, no matter what it is, without being bitter, hostile, angry, and blaming somebody else for it. They may be to blame, but your blaming them is not going to do any good. And what Paul has learned here is this. He's learned a valuable lesson that when he sees that everything is coming from him and he views it as that, and he says, here's what I see. God has so loved me and he wants to use me. He says, in order to keep me from being prideful and arrogant, God has allowed this in my life. That kept him humble, kept him dependent, kept him useful in the kingdom of God. There are many people whom God blesses, and what happens? They get blessed, and they get blessed, and they get blessed, and they become more self-sufficient, more self-adequate, and next thing you know, they're prideful and arrogant. God just sets them on the shelf. God does not use prideful people, because prideful people are saying, I don't need him in some areas of my life. And Paul learned that all these things that were happening to him were doing what? Building this awesome sense of an intimate relationship with God, because he was beginning to understand God in ways he had not before. Not only that, but in this passage, it's very evident that he was learning the ways of God. In this 12th chapter again, the 10th verse, he said, therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses and persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, I'm learning something about God, that when I'm the weakest and think I can't, that's when God shows up with the most awesome sense of authority for what he's called me to do, with the energy to do it. He says, I'm learning the ways of God. Until you learn the ways of God, what you'll do, you'll find yourself fretting with him over things and find yourself a little confused sometimes and find yourself a little bit in conflict with God. It's not that you don't love him and you don't care. It's just very difficult sometimes when you face these, if you don't understand his ways. One of his ways is that he uses suffering, adversity, difficulty, hardship, pain to grow us up, to equip us. He uses these things to do what? Drive us unto himself. He makes his greatest servants out of pain and suffering and hardship. What we want to do is we want to live a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure and just talk about how sweet Jesus is and how wonderful he is and how he blesses me and everything I have. I'm willing to give him credit for all the joy of my life and all the health and all the things. What about the adversity? How many of us have learned anything out of pleasure and sweetness and joy and wonderful weather and having all your possessions? What have you learned? Not one thing. You say, I've learned how good God is. Have you really? You learn how good God is, listen, when the bottom drops out and there's no place to turn and he shows up. That's when you learn how good God is. So he says, he's learning the ways of God. He said, what I've learned is this. When I'm the weakest, I'm the strongest. What I'm learning is that things that I don't want in my life, he's just making it for my good. He's learning the ways of God. He's learning that when other people reject him, that's when his intimacy with Jesus Christ becomes the most precious. When you're rejected by your friends or by your husband or your wife or your children or your parents, when you're rejected, then you get the sweetest glimpse. You get the biggest dose, the greatest refreshing drink of intimacy in your life when everybody else has said, you know what, forget it. And Jesus is still there. And Paul is learning that. It's a difficult lesson, but he's learned that. Then, of course, he learned something else. And that is, he says, we become far more capable of being comforters to other people when we have been through adversity and have been comforted ourselves. Now, he says that in different ways in this particular passage, but I want us to go back to what he said in the first chapter of this book. This is the 12th chapter we've been talking about, but back in the first chapter, he starts off this letter to the Corinthians, and here's what he says. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us, watch this, who comforts us in all our afflictions or adversities, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Then he says on later in the same chapter, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, but we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. That's what he was going through. And what is he talking about? He's talking about that God, in those situations, by comforting him, has equipped him to be a comfort to other people. And as we said before, there's some situations and circumstances that people go through and they come to you and want to share it and you say, oh, I understand. I'm going to pray for you, brother. Just trust the Lord. A lot of that is just stuff. That's what that is, stuff. You can only comfort people genuinely when you've been hurt, when you felt pain, when you felt rejection, when you have felt in need, and when you have felt yourself heading in the wrong direction, when you felt yourself losing it in life, and somehow God begins to work in your life his awesome comfort. And he says, what he's learned is this, we become the most effective when we've hurt the most. When we have to be comforted, then we understand what it means to comfort someone else. So when he talks about all the things that he's learned and how to deal with adversity, listen, here's what he's saying. When I'm dealing with adversity, I understand that God is equipping me in the very process, equipping me to be a comforter to someone else. So we don't like adversity, but what we have to ask is this, when am I the most effective? When I've hurt like they've hurt, when I've felt what they felt, so am I willing to feel what they feel and hurt like they've hurt? Am I willing to suffer loss if that will equip me to be the kind of comforter that some people need? Then, of course, he mentioned something else. He says he learned that God had a specific purpose for the adversity. Now, that's what he starts off saying in this 12th chapter. Listen to what he says. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Now, what is he talking about? Now, the book of Revelation is singular, revelation, because it was one prophetic revelation. When he talks about these surpassing revelations that he has, it meant those times, those situations and circumstances in which God revealed him this truth and that truth and this truth and that truth. He says God had given him such awesome, surpassing revelations that in order to keep him from becoming prideful and arrogant, he says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, you might think about this. When you're going through something and it's very difficult, you might ask yourself the question, God, what's your purpose for this? In fact, you should ask it. What's your purpose? And Paul said, I know what the purpose is. He said, God's been so awesome to me, so good to me, so revealing to me, that in order to protect the ministry to which he's called me, in order to protect the truth that he's given me, in order to protect me from becoming useless, he allowed this thorn in my side, which nobody understands what that is. All the theologians in the world never figure out what that is, because God didn't want us to know, and I'll tell you why. The reason he didn't want us to know is because, let's say it was a terrible asthma he had all his life. Couldn't see good. All the things that people think about. If you and I had the same thing the Apostle Paul had, we'd say, well, you know, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I have one of those. We'd be just as arrogant in some way as we could be. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul and I have something in common. You sure do. Sin, difficulty, hardship, pain, suffering, yes. But nothing to brag about. He says, oh, watch this. If God has a purpose for everything he allows in our life, would you say, is it a good purpose or a bad purpose? I didn't get much answer on that. I do understand that. Listen, what kind of God is he? He is a good God. He's an unconditionally loving God. So that whatever he allows in our life, there is a specific purpose he has in mind. And that purpose, listen, is not only good for him, but it's good for us. What did he say? He said, my God causes all things. Now, what we do, we take out all things and we interpret it. to be sweet, loving, wealthy, all these wonderful things, famous, all this. He causes all things, yes, pain, suffering, hardship. We sort of misinterpret that word. We put in there what we want to happen. My God causes all things, all includes all, to work together for my good because he loves us. And so when you think about that, if you really and truly believe that, listen, this is painful, I don't like it, but somehow, according to what I read in the scripture, God's working this thing out for my good. Think about this. Is God a God of action without purpose? Listen, God has never done anything without purpose. There's no such thing as happenstance with God. In other words, he purposely directs and allows things. You say, why in the world would he do that? The Apostle Paul, as fine a man as he was, we just got there telling you how many reasons there were, all of which is to do what? Is to open this man up, give him understanding, to draw him into what Paul said he wanted more than anything else is an intimate personal relationship with Jesus. And until you experience that, the Christian life is going to be pretty light. He wants us to know him, not just receive from him, just serve him. He wants us to know him, 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 him. He wants us to know who he is. And Paul is understanding that. He understands this purpose. He says, remember this, he was a Pharisee. He was a big deal in his day and time. When he was among the Pharisees, he was the biggest persecutor of the church. They thought he was it. And God had to crush the it until he could get him totally dependent upon himself and in love. Listen, not with the Mosaic law as interpreted by Pharisees, but with this carpenter who came from nowhere. Changed his life. When I think about that, radically changed his life. That's why he wasn't complaining about the thorn. Naturally, he would like to have done it some other way, but he says, for what I've learned, bring it on. And then, of course, he learned that he could rejoice in the midst of his adversity. And I love Philippians because there's so many wonderful verses here. But look, if you will, in this fourth chapter of Philippians. Here's what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, he wrote, in jail, in a Roman prison. And he's talking about rejoicing. Why? Because here's what he learned. All these things that had happened to him, instead of having a pity party and wanting to break out of jail and getting somebody to rescue him, and spending his days and nights of crying, God, please rescue me, please get me out of this place. What was he doing? He was just taking all those experiences and running them over in his mind and his heart and gleaning and learning and reaping the most richest of rewards of who this God is that he served. So whatever adversity you're facing, most of the time you can't control it. So you have to decide how you're going to think about it. Are you going to think about it as a bridge that God is building for you to bring you into an intimate relationship with him for which no man on earth can create for you? A relationship to him that you will never be able to fully fathom all the days of your life. A relationship with him for which he died to make possible. A relationship with him that will absolutely revolutionize your life. Equip you to be a strong servant of God. All you want to do is have pity parties. Drink, carouse, sex, anything to get your mind off of it. And it's interesting, your mind never gets off of it. So that's the devil's approach. Or you can take Paul's approach. This is a bridge. And I'm going to travel above all this because I know what's on the other side. This indescribable, sweet, precious, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about.
Thank you for listening to part two of Adversity, Burden or Bridge. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.